Okay, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, whatever, children of all ages, welcome to yet another episode of The Last Knock. I am your host, Billy Crash. Johnny Numb is not with me tonight, but a wonderful, amazing performer, artist, burlesque queen, motivational speaker, model. She can do it all. She's absolutely amazing. Kat LaCoey, right?
Hey, yes, you said it absolutely perfectly well.
Oh God, I did not. Don't say Kat LaCoey. I was like, oh no, and I was like, oh. Kat, how are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm great. How are you?
Good. You're always great, though. That's the thing. You are full of such energy. You're so vibrant and full of verve.
I try.
No, you do.
I should have said that to someone. Someone said, that's the thing, Kat, you don't. It's just like, that's what they loved about it. It wasn't like, she was like, you're not trying. You're just being. And I was like, that's pretty awesome. I love that she said that about me. So. Oh,
wow. Well, Kat's on today for a number of reasons. Yes, she's been in horror films. Yes, she's an actress. But forget these other people. I met you in... I met you in Los Angeles when I was there for Shriekfest with Denise Gossett. My wife signed me up. She's like, oh, you're going to a burlesque. I'm like, what are you talking about? You know? And I'm imagining the old days, you know, the guy with the tom-tom and, you know, the woman, the curvaceous woman with the feather fans doing this slow twirl and this slow reveal. And I'm like, ugh. And then I met you. And you're absolutely delicious, if I may say, and not get punched in the face.
Absolutely. You're too far away for me to punch you anyway. So. Well, I technically know where you live, but oh well.
That's true. You don't technically. You definitely know where I live. And I know where you live too. So anyway, the great thing was I met you at the Carmel Lounge in L.A., which is a wonderful venue, a wonderful, small, intimate venue. And... this was a burlesque where it was a mixed audience of men and women, wonderful people. It's not like going to a strip club where you see guys who are like, my God, what happened to them? You know, like,
right, yeah.
You know, it's like, this is sad. And
like they just lost their business deal and they've gone to like drown their sorrows kind of thing.
Yeah. And strip clubs could be creepy. And I was almost thrown out of one because I laughed too much, because to me, this is just so hokey. And yeah. I've seen some really like bizarre, very sad things going on. But this is the complete opposite. This is modern burlesque. It was the Dollface Dames that were there that night. Lola Labute was introducing her three newest troop members. And
Damettes.
Yes. And it was just a wonderful, engaging, enlightening, energetic show of we're talking anything from alternative to urban to punk, steampunk, and we're not talking about the slow twirl and the fans. We're talking about very athletic, intense dancers, performers who did wonderful short dancing routines that were wow. They were just like really eye-opening and amazing. And this was part of the experience that you had set up. And what do you call this experience so people know?
It's just called Burlesque Vixen. I think because I've been teaching for a long time now. I feel like it's a long time. I've been teaching my style of burlesque for about 2.5-3 years now. Mm-hmm. And my aim is that I come from it more from dance routines. It's more of a body confidence and a quality of movement, and also a digging deep into what alter ego or what about yourself are you celebrating on stage. Mm. It's not about learning a specific dance routine and here's the steps and here's the technique now and that's it. I'm about the actual performance and you getting to a point where you feel so alive and free doing your act that is your own personal act that belongs to you, that you want to perform it on stage and show the world how amazing you are. And so that's where my teaching was coming from. And I started working with people who they loved what I did, and they loved the classes. And maybe they didn't have enough time to get an act together. So like they're only in town for a short amount of time, or
Right.
their schedules are crazy, so they don't get to do a full on. They can't commit to like 5 weeks, 10 weeks of working with me and putting it together then and performing on the stage. But I still wanted to offer something that was still had like a crescendo and an end point to it. So this was like bringing people maybe into the Basque world who haven't really fully experienced it, or don't really know what it is, or feel a little bit like, I want to know what it is, but I don't know which ones to go to because there's so much on offer right now, or you feel scared walking in there. Like, I mean, I went into a strip club once with my friend. I was like, because I wanted to see what it's like, but if my friend hadn't been there, I would never have gone in. There's a bunch of stuff I would never have done if a friend of mine hadn't taken me first, you know? I went to Disneyland last week, and because my friend knew exactly what they were doing, so I was like, yeah, that's great. So it was an idea of like bringing people into that world, or helping people along that sort of first step into a burlesque show, and then working with them just for a workshop to sort of touch base of like, you know, your inner characters and your quality of movement and your relationship with your own body yourself. And
Right.
then instead of performing on stage, you do a photo shoot, and then you're still looking at costume, and you're still having to pose and be looked at and be seen by me and the photographer, and then showing your pictures. But it's not like you have to spend. It's more fun and less stressful because your costume doesn't have to be totally finished. We can pin it for a photo shoot, or you know, you can borrow some of my stuff and dress up in all this
Which
elaborate,
I did.
expensive stuff, which you did, which was the most fun. And so it's just a nice, it's like a mini experience for people who want to work with me and want to have that experience, but they don't fully want to, and like they don't want to full on do an act, or they don't, you know, have the schedule to commit to that. So that's what this was all about.
Right, but there's also something else because I think you're selling yourself short a little bit. It's as one person said in on Yelp comments, he said, "This isn't about burlesque. This is about life." And that was a gentleman too. And it's great because this is for men and women. I definitely wish my wife had been there as well. This is I think this is very couples based.
Right. Oh my gosh. Like I've had to, sorry to cut you off, but just
No, go ahead.
jump on top of that. I've had two couples now since I've been doing this. And the first couple, it was actually more about the guy. The guy was in a band, and he's like, I've experienced sort of drag and I experienced this, but I really want to. And he was coming up with these burlesque acts that are the sort of stuff I come up with. He's like, I want to start off as a homeless guy and have my bottle of whiskey, but then it turns into baby oil and start like stripping off and rubbing down in it. Or I want to start off with like a Halloween mask, but it goes like from a. And so we did this whole photo shoot where I made him some red nipple pasties, and we got my fake blood out because you know how I love my fake blood.
Oh, yeah.
And he did a whole shoot with this, with the is it the Jason mask and the knife and the fake blood and
Oh,
stuff. And we did
nice.
some funny cute stuff, we did some like serious death stuff, and then we got his girlfriend in and she did her stuff, and then we put the two together, and we've got this beautiful picture now that looks like a movie poster for me. Like it just looks like this guy sort of got this goddess captured in his underworld, and like it just looks
Wow.
amazing. And then last week I had a couple come in, and it was all about her. She like he'd sort of got the trip for her, and oh, it was great because she did these two. She did one that was very cutesy and coy and ballerina-esque, and then one that was a bit more like feisty and ringmaster with a whip. And he was like, I
Nice.
don't want to be involved, I don't want to be involved. And right at the end, I got him these like kitten ears and a tail and these little mitten paws. So we had him as the lion and she was the lion tamer. And it was just like, it was just so much fun. And when they get into the spirit of it, they know that I've got like that little bit of sense of humor as well. Like
Oh, yeah,
it's
you
just
do.
playing and you know. And so it's been really fun. Like, you know, because people are, ooh, couples. Ooh, is it so? No, it's just people having, like, it's Halloween right now. You know, people are all going
Yes.
out and getting dressed up, and especially couples' costumes, you know, like let's go as, you know, Mickey and Minnie, or like a couple that goes together. And I just don't, it's like just an extension of that, you know, the fun you have of going, I've got this costume, this is great, I now get to show it to everybody at this Halloween party. It's just taking it one step further, you know.
Oh, agreed. And one of the things that I noticed right off the bat is this is about body confidence, about you loving who you are regardless of your size and shape. And that was just so wonderful because even the dancers, like, they weren't size zeros, you know, and they were all beautiful and all fantastic and very engaging. and the crowd was very supportive, and it was a celebration of like the human form. It wasn't.
Absolute celebration. Yeah, that's always the word that I use when I'm talking to people, and it's a celebration and it's a confidence. And I have people in class going, "Oh, I can't be sexy. I'm trying to be sexy." I'm like, "That's not what sexiness is. Is a confidence and a bit of a, not taking it so seriously sort of thing. Like, I'm confident, but I'm also aware that I'm not like the best thing ever. I have my little flaws, but what were you guys the you said about the oh yeah, the body confidence. Again, people might shy away from, and I know I was when I was because I mean I was overweight when I was younger, and then skinny jeans came out. I was like, I could never put a pair of skinny jeans on. No, don't make me do it. But unless you start trying, and so you have this fear of I'm not even gonna bother putting that dress on because I know already it's gonna look terrible. And I love that. I love seeing people's eyes light up when they see items in the studio. Like there's a piece of costume or there's a prop, and they really want to just touch it or wear it, but they feel too like they. And I give them permission. I'm like, no, let's make this work. Let's put this on. Let's find one in your size, or let's see how this fits with this. Or, and if it doesn't fit, well, then let's let it out a little bit, or let's bring you in with a corset and then put this on as a top layer. Like it's just, it's making it freaking work, and I give a shit. Like, if I remember I worked on a wedding dress, there was an exhibition for wedding dresses, and I was working modeling the dresses at the time, and it was a really slow part of the day, and so people were coming along going, can I try one on? And everyone else was like, you can only try on like two dresses. I was like, yeah, you can try all of them on, screw it, even ones you don't want to wear, even ones that just look poofy and stupid, let's do that because it's fun, and I just get I get a joy from dressing people up and just seeing them experience different things. Because on top of that, I will talk forever. I
Go
also
ahead, it's
my
your
day
show, lady. I'm stepping back.
my day job for a long, long time was doing fittings modeling, which is
Okay.
going to like the head office of like H&M or a Gap or whatever. And they design the clothes, they send them off to be made to the factory. The factory sends it back, and then I'm hired as a living mannequin to try on the clothes and just make sure they fit properly. So I would work for like boutique dresses, I would work for like street high street Kmart, I would work for sportswear, I would work for tailored suits. And so I was trying stuff on for different age ranges, different styles, and in the course of a day my body shape would change in the mirror because the seam is cutting you in a different position, or the shoulder pads make you look different. And so you start figuring out it's not my body that's wrong, it's my choice of style. And just because it's in style, this fashion doesn't mean it's going to suit you. So wear what suits you, and don't be following just what the current trend is. Make the current trend work for you. Take an essence of it and make it work for your coloring, your height, your stance, your stature, and it is that playing and just discovering and trying it out.
Oh, I agree with you. And I think that's the wonderful thing about the photo shoot because, man, you're one hell of a director. You keep things moving quickly. And I think it's so people can't, overthink.
Right. It's, don't think, just do
Yeah, let's try
it.
this. It's like, oh, okay. And next thing you're trying it, it's like, oh my gosh,
Yeah.
Jimmy Valena, he's your photographer that you use. He's wonderful. And your makeup artist is Elena Rose.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's wonderful. And the three, it was great. It was a comfortable, positive environment. And everybody, like you said, got to play and appreciate who they are, which is just really wonderful, especially, well, you know how American society is. But thankfully, we're getting away from all of that. You must be this size because, in most other countries, they would look at, most, let's say, slender women and go, well, they're not healthy. You know what
Yeah. Yeah. I saw this thing recently. I can't remember what it was, but it was they took a photograph of a woman and they sent it to photographers across the globe and said, "Can you just Photoshop this woman's headshot?" I don't think it's, but I think it was just a headshot, and they all came back with totally different images because some thought that bigger eyes were sexier, or small eyes were sexier, or they would get rid of wrinkles, or they would add wrinkles, or they, it was like their idea of what beauty was just changed depending on the culture and the upbringing and the, and so Photoshop this woman, it, she still came back with like 25 different images. It's
Wow,
like
that's
you.
great.
Yeah, I need to find that thing. I can't remember what it was, but it
Yeah, I
was
want to
really
see it.
fascinating. Yeah, and then there's that thing about through the ages, you know, what was considered attractive and sexy through the ages, and
Yes.
what the connotation was. Like, if you're thin, it's because you're starving and had no money, and
Yep.
if you're larger, it's because you had abundance, you had money, and you were successful. So,
And you
and
could
now it's
breed.
like, and you could breed, you
Really,
know,
I'm
you had,
serious. That's it. Yeah.
right? Yeah, a woman had fat on her so she could feed the baby during her
There
pregnancy.
you go.
Otherwise, you know, what's the point of, that's why we have extra fat in our bodies, because we're, you know, functional. Yeah, there's a thing now of, oh, well, if you're skinny and toned, it's because you can have the luxury to take a time off work and go to your yoga class and
Right.
have your tummy tuck and get on the sunbed. And, you know, it's a form of luxury to be able to look after your body that much now.
Absolutely. And the wonderful thing is, we were talking about how, because with the experience watching these women dance and all, it wasn't there, I didn't feel any sense of objectification or misogyny. And you were like, really, it's funny because you were so expressive. And when I started talking about that, you got really like, ugh, you know, so.
I probably said lots of things.
Oh, yeah, you did.
I think it's because when I first got into burlesque, it had such connotations of it's stripping. And
Yes.
so if I ever said I do burlesque, you would see the person's face instantly, cogs turning, oh, you're a stripper, that's what you do.
Right.
And the fact that my whole background is physical theater, storytelling, theatrics on stage, a burlesque act to me is the ultimate live action music video. And it's about, you know, what is the story, and what's the cool thing that I'm going to do on stage. And it's the spectacle, and it's the celebration, it's like when you go to see a live concert and there's all these lights and flashing. Like, I remember watching Marilyn Manson once, and he sort of rose into the air off this podium, and then the whole like cloak fell off him, and this thing appeared, and it was just fucking awesome to watch, you
Yeah,
know?
yeah,
And
yeah.
that's what I hear a piece of music and go, oh my God, wouldn't it be cool if you could do this to this piece of music? And oh my God, wouldn't it be hilariously funny if, you know, I hear this piece of me, and I could take it in this connotation. And also, I mean, there is as well, I mean, you say, oh, the slow moving fan. I mean, I don't knock that at all either. That's beautiful,
Right,
and
right, right.
a cause of celebration. I do that style too. It's about it not being one specific style. It's like you're
Yes.
going, I like music, and you instantly go, oh, well, you must be a young ruffian then. It's like, no, there's, you know, I don't know what people are gonna say, but like, it's like, there's rock music, there's classical music, there's country music. Like, just saying the word music, just saying the word burlesque doesn't cover. Do you get what I mean?
Yes.
Like,
Yes. Well, we
so
all
yeah,
have our preconceived notions, and that's the problem.
absolutely, absolutely. It's and so it got me going, because it's like, I'm not going out on that stage to please anybody else and to go, oh my God, I hope they think I'm sexy. I'm going out there to entertain people and to
Yeah.
go, hey, I've got this really cool idea, or hey, I can do this really cool, I can do this fire eating, I've got this
Yeah.
beautiful costume, I cannot wait to show it to you. I'm like a kid doing show and tell, or like when you have your friend come around to your house when you're young and you're like showing them your bedroom because you had this cool toy or this cool like thing, whatever. That's what I'm doing on stage. I'm going, look at this cool thing, share this with me, like, I'm excited, be excited. Like, I'm not going, oh, I need to feel like validated from the fact that they're gonna put dollar bills in my G-string. It's, you know.
Oh, I
And
know.
no, I'm not saying that that's what I'm saying, that's what I feel audience members think it is. I'm not saying that's what any other form of striptease or, you know, is. I'm just saying that that's when people negatively talk about it, that's what
Oh,
their
yeah. No,
idea.
no, I agree. And I remember when we sat at the table, we met Josh, who was a gentleman who frequents, you know.
Yeah, he's awesome. Yeah,
Yeah, and
there's
he.
so this is what's so great about that place, is that, well, all the places that I've performed at, there's this like regular following. It's like, again, like going to like a concert, and all your friends are there because you're all in the same type of music. You know, I went to see Eddie Izzard, and there was a whole bunch of people in the audience I didn't even know would be there because we all like that performer. And so whenever I go to a show, the audience is like your family and your friends just having a night out. It's like a real camaraderie, fun party, rather than, like you said, the seedy strip club of the business people dying in their
Yeah. Oh.
sorrows.
Yeah, because that was the cool thing about Josh, because, you know, I had a chance to speak. He's a great guy. I mean, I can't forget him. And please tell him I said hi.
I will. I told him. I saw you texted me, or you said you mentioned him somewhere. I think you mentioned him in the last podcast. And I was like, oh, Josh, like, I mentioned you. Yay.
Well, because he was so cool, because I know he goes to these things all the time. And you know he's there and he's having a good time. And he's not like, oh, man, you know, Kat, you know, one day she's going to like fall in love with me. Like, he's not one of those creepy guys. None of the people there were. It was a really cool, positive, fun environment where, you know, we just had a blast. That was one of my best experiences, not only in Los Angeles, but probably in the last, like, you know, let's put it there, top 10 of my life. You know, it was just really fun and cool.
I just think, again, when I first sort of got into burlesque, there was a whole bunch of, like, the recession was going on, and there was a lot of, like, it was back in when I was in London, there's so much shit going on, and
right.
They were talking about how you know, it's an escapism, and it's live entertainment and that kind of stuff, like, it can dwindle because it's a luxury to spend money on that. But and now you have televisions and stuff, so you can stay at home and watch Netflix. But back in the day when vaudeville was around, it was your only escapism from all the sadness in the world. And I did a show here a couple of years ago now, and I was getting people on stage. There was like a section where I was like interacting with the audience. And a friend of mine was like, oh my God, get so-and-so on stage. I was like, okay, are you sure? So I got this guy on stage. And I knew him a little bit, but not like that much. And I got him, and I was like doing this thing where I teach him to remove a glove, and I teach two people to remove a glove, and then I get them to like do like a little competition between the two of them who can like do it better. And he really didn't want to be involved, and I sort of got him involved, and then he was laughing his ass off, and then he got so into it, he started taking his shirt off, and it was so freaking funny.
It's freeing.
And then I came up stage, and I spoke to him afterwards, and he's like, "Kat, my daughter is in hospital right now, and I've been able to think of nothing except that. I think maybe she had died. I think it's something really serious." And he's like, "I've woken up every day and only that has been on my mind, and I haven't been able to think of anything else." He goes, "For those like 3 minutes on stage just now, I've been able to think of something else and be something else." And he was like, "Thank you so much for that." And I was like, oh my gosh, I felt so bad. I'd like forced him on stage to like have fun. But it was the fact that he'd seen that as a positive, and be able for those few minutes to just be like, I'm somewhere else. And for me as well, like, I've had days where I've had like the shittiest day, or I've woken up feeling so, so terrible. Hmm. And I mean, it happens, I'm a human.
Yeah.
Going to host a show has been like the least thing I've wanted to do, because I've got to put this costume on and be all smiley and happy and all the rest of it. But because I'm focused so much on the audience and my ad-libbing with the audience, and my focus is off myself and my own shit and my own problems, that I end the show and I'm like, oh my God, I feel so elated and happy. And the same thing happens when I'm teaching class, because I'm so focused on on my students in class.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not putting it all on me, I'm not dwelling on my own shit anymore. And so for me, it's been my own therapy as well, because I'm spending the time bringing other people on this happy journey that I get swept up in it myself, regardless of how I started the day.
That's wonderful. Where did this all begin for you? I know your mom's talented. I've seen the video.
I love that video.
She is funny and cool, and I could tell you get so much of your personality from her, which is wonderful.
Oh my God. Do you know what? People would say to her, like, oh, I see where Kat gets it. And she's like, what do you mean? I'm terrible and I'm shy and she hates cameras and she won't, you know, she hates it.
Man.
And the more and more, like, well, the thing is, she, so the things I've got from my mom that are me are that she did dressmaking. So I grew up with all this costume and sequins and creativity and not even going off patterns necessarily, but like going, oh, let's, you know, we have this bit of fabric left over, let's mix it with this and see what comes out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I was younger, I was like, oh, mom, make me a mermaid's tail and make me a hooped Scarlet Horror skirt. And so I did the whole dressing up from a very young age because it was around and because she had always bits of weird costumes and stuff.
Yeah.
And second of all, she was a teacher as well. So she would teach in schools, and then she did adult education. And then she went from that, she switched careers and she started being a counselor for victims of, well, It was called victim support. So if anything had
Right.
happened to you, and you had to go into court or something, you needed support from someone who wasn't a family member, she would go. And then she went to couples counseling. And so I get a mixture of her being able to teach and connect with a group of people, but also in a creative and fun way, you know, because
Right.
if you're teaching information, you need to make it not boring.
Oh, don't I know?
You know, and oh, of course, right, yeah, I'm speaking to the converted. And then also having that caring, listening, it being interested in other people and actually wanting to get to the bottom of things with people. And so her whole counseling skills and that kind of thing has, so it's the, I think it's those three things. That's like, it's the creativity, it's the being able to connect with people, the teaching side of things, and then, yeah, being genuinely interested in other people and genuinely wanting them to, but you know, I don't mean better themselves. I mean like fulfill their potential, or if they have a secret yearning to be or do or change their life in some way, to commit, you know, agree with them that that is possible.
Oh yeah, and just to relax a little bit, we're so like how do I look? How am I presenting myself? Instead of just like enjoying and just hey, I'm okay and you know, I fit and I belong and everything's cool and you help, you know, bring that out
Well,
with
I worked
people.
with this wonderful woman, Christina Morassi, who works with like she does this a diva, oh, goddess diva, I think it's for like CEOs of companies where they're the face of
Okay.
the company. And so, you know, if you have one florist and another florist, why do you go to one and not the other one? Because you're friends with, or you like, or the branding of this particular shop is different to that one. So she really helps people embrace their own self and their brand and their feminine power. A lot of it is based for female CEOs, because if you're in this business world, you feel like, oh, I have to be manly, I have to be aggressive, I have to be
Right.
assertive, all these masculine qualities. And so she brought me in with this whole burlesque and being seen. So let's access our femininity, let's access our fears of being seen, or requesting or demanding that we be seen, because God forbid we should, you know, be so confident with ourselves that we should allow that.
Right.
And yeah, I had this one woman who then she trained with me and ended up doing an act, and she was very small and taking up not very much space and very, very mousy. And then I gave her a pair of Isis wings and was like, take up your space, you need to take up your space. And she was just full of life and amazing, and just took up the space. And there was a point in class where she kept like giggling as she came on stage, and she's like, oh, and I was like, why did you start again? She went, because I keep laughing. I'm like, if you're laughing, that's you, that's a genuine reaction, so freaking laugh. Maybe this entire act you're laughing all the way through, who said you have to be serious?
Right.
And it just, and she came out of her shell, and she had this giggly, smiley, cutesy persona that came out on stage, and it was beautiful. And so I just love seeing people kind of, you know, there's this little burning little candle inside them that has been quashed by society or their upbringing or whatever people have said, and it's just about to burn out, and they're like, no, I want you to keep living. And I'm not putting it in there, I'm just fanning the flame and going, come on then, out
Oh,
you
and you do it well. Because that was, my gosh, when I got to LA that day, I had 3 hours sleep. I was on a plane. I hate flying with a mad passion. I walked 9.5 miles that day. I don't, I, you know, and it was just, I was just insane. And I go to the club and I'm like totally re-energized. And it was just fantastic. I couldn't wait for the photo shoot and everything else. And that was so much fun. And it was just fantastic. And, I mean, and all of this carries over to your acting and what, like, how did you get into acting? Or, well, you're a natural actress anyway, right?
Well, I
Is
mean,
that
yeah,
fair to
when I
say?
was like 10, I guess, I was like, I want to be an actor. And I don't know how I figured that out. I think I was watching a bunch of films. Specifically, I remember watching Gone with the Wind and Flash Gordon in like the same,
Wow.
you know, that's like my, that's, I think once I say that, people go, oh, I see it now. Yeah, like explains everything about you. And I loved the dressing up part, and I loved sort of pretending I was in different situations, and sort of, I don't know. And I think I remember asking my mom, like, what is this, or how is this, or, and then I put a group of us at school, I'm literally like 7 years old at this point, we put
Right.
on like the Little Mermaid, At school, and I just loved it. And I was the sea witch, because of course, why else would I be? And so I then sought out I wanted to do some after school drama stuff. And so my mom was like, "I will totally support you. I will drive you to the class. I will, but I'm not gonna be a mom of a drama kid. I'm not gonna be a bratty pushing you into it." So I got the phone book out, because we had those in those days rather than the internet. And I, at the age of, I think I was probably 9 by this point, was ringing around all these places like, "I want to be an actor." And so my first training was an after school group on a Tuesday night, and we did a lot of it was very much devising style. It wasn't, "Here's a script, let's do it." It was exercises of trusting each other, and being in close bodily contact with each other, and how your physicality changes your character, because you're 7 or you're 10. So how do you play a 90-year-old? Do you hunch over? Do you stand up? Do you accessing different animalistic styles? And then we would put together shows depending on what we want to talk about. And so we would devise these little scenes, and then the person running the group would then figure out the storyline that we'd put our show on at the end. And then I went from that into I wanted to do something a bit more scripted and a bit more like proper acting. And so I went to this other youth theatre, and they would do I'm naming some plays, but they're all British, so they probably
That's
don't
fine.
know.
Hey, that's great.
They did like Toad of Toad Hall, kids shows and stuff. And they do like pantomimes. And then they did like there's a Newcastle writer called Catherine Cookson, and we did a bunch of those plays. And so yeah, I just was doing. We didn't have much of a drama department at school, so I was always doing it outside. And that's what was amazing, was at school, like I said, I was pretty overweight. I was very shy. I was very terrified of getting up in front of anybody. I was very intelligent, and I was kind of bullied a lot for having a very well-spoken voice in the area that I grew up in. And Kat thinks so much of herself because she's getting good marks, and she speaks poshly, so she thinks she's better than us. Whatever, human rate, why didn't you fucking speak proper? You know what I mean? Like, that's how, that's the Geordie accent, if anyone wants to know. And I was like, because I do speak properly, what's wrong with you? So I had that all going on, but my escape wasn't necessarily acting, but it was going to the acting class, which was nothing to do with my school, where I was this other version of me, because people in that group didn't know me from the school, where you already have this labeling from when you're like 5 years old. So it was this place I didn't have all that baggage with me, and I was this other, and I was like more popular in this group of people, and I could be a bit more outspoken. And so I just liked that environment, and also it's different ages, because at school you're so like, oh, you're stuck with everybody of your own age, whereas in the drama group it was like, I would talk to the adults a lot more, and you're an immersive experience. But I just loved, what was the question? I go
That
off on a
doesn't matter.
tangent.
Keep going. You're fine.
I just knew I wanted to do it. I think after that I then joined another group, Northern Stage Ensemble, which changed my life. And it was a mixture of devised work and scripted work. And they would do really gritty things like Animal Farm and Clockwork Orange and 1984. And they would do it in, they were using physical theater, they were using devised techniques, they were using a beautiful stage, like illusions to create these worlds, like in front of your face, And I got selected from the amateur group to be part of the ensemble. And there's these group of people who are doing this amazing, fantastic, spectacular work, and they're being paid a weekly wage in Newcastle. It's not even in like the capital of England. It's in this tiny little town, and their job is an actor. And I'd grown up with American Hollywood films, where to be an actor is A-list celebrity, and that's an unlikely goal. But luckily, having the mom that I had, she's like, do what you love, do it well, and just go, keep going through life doing what you love and doing what you do well, and at some point you'll be paid for it. And so yeah, I was like, do I go to Cambridge and do philosophy? I did. I went down to Cambridge and I interviewed to do a degree in philosophy. And then on the other hand, I went to a bunch of drama school auditions and went to those. And then I ended up going to a place where a lot of people from Northern Stage Ensemble had gone to, which was a mixture of drama training, but also analytical thinking and creation, and you could just create your own training. So they'd have a range of courses that you could do, but you could select which ones you wanted. So you wouldn't have, you didn't just go and then get told, right, now you do Shakespeare, now you do costume, now you do voice, now you do movement, now you're going to do Chekhov. It would be like, we have these, what do you want to do? So I did a bit of costume, I did physical theater, I did stand, oh, didn't do that, I did solo performance, I did what else did I look at? You could write your own spec. So I want to work with this physical theater company, so I wrote a whole syllabus on how I was going to analyze their techniques and compare them to Cirque du Soleil. And so I basically wrote my own, I want to learn this, I'm going to go and learn it and get credit for it, and then that's my degree, you know.
That's
And
actually,
doing
that's fantastic.
such good training, and I'm so sad. If I hadn't gone to Northern Stage, I wouldn't have met those people. I wouldn't have thought that being a legit, like having being an actor as a job would have been a tangible thing, and I wouldn't have known about that course, which I don't even know if it exists in that format anymore. But during that course, I did solo performance, which was taught by the guy who did stand-up comedy, and a lot of that was you being confident on stage in front of a bunch of people. And that's where Vixen DeVille kind of came from, which is my burlesque persona. And this is what I do with my students in class, is he would see you just doing something very neutral on stage, like sit on the chair or play high status to an item, and he would see that you were more of a clowning person or a mischievous person, or your sexuality was coming out a lot, or and he would just say that's what your natural state is. And especially as an actor, you need to know what your natural state is, because it's your money,
Platform, yeah,
you
well, yeah.
know. So that's how the acting thing was. And I still did the acting, but coming out of that course, I had done a piece where I was just interacting with the audience, saying this comedy story, where I was getting the audience to do sound effects, which is kind of when you watched me. Oh, you didn't see me do Vixen DeVille. We went to Karma and we just.
No, I was at Shriek
Oh,
Fest. I had
yeah.
responsibilities.
When I'm hosting, I do this thing like, everybody on the left say this, and everyone on the left say right, and whatever. And it's that comes a lot from that thing I did back at university. So, yay, something I studied at uni actually got me worked.
Well, I will see you perform next time. That's a promise. But the wonderful thing is looking at your demo reels, and you have several on YouTube. You comedy, perfect. Drama, perfect. Action, perfect. And then the horror stuff. It's like, oh man, it's wonderful how you can. You're so, like I said, the expressions on your face are amazing, and you know how to be enraptured by all of these roles and really absorb what these characters are and exude that internal emotion, like that horror reel. It's like I wouldn't mess with you. It's like you know what I mean? It's just fantastic. You're so malleable.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. So,
You know, I remember I watched Roald Dahl The Witches when I was very young. I remember being terrified when she took that mask off. And I thought, if I was the witch, I wouldn't have to look at her and be scared. I could be in a horror film or be in a scary thingy if I was the scary person. And I don't know if that's then transformed into, I've recently played Rita Repulsa in a spin-off of the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. And I do play all these like Maleficent-y characters and the evil, scary, like I played this evil witch character in this TV show back in England. And I don't know. It's just so. I very, very, very. What's the word? Not vaguely. The opposite of vaguely. Like,
Geez, opposite of vague, then it would
lucid.
be.
Like, I can just see this memory. It's very tangible for me. Like, remembering it. If I was a scary person, I wouldn't have to be scared. But then a lot of the stuff, like, I don't know if you saw the Solomon thing, and you know, I play victim a lot recently. This is actually something I wanted to say, was that someone said something about the role of women in horror, and I was like, well, I've played victim a number of times, but I feel like that my victims always come out the other end, you know? And it links into the whole my world of burlesque of you're not you're not late. The things that other people say about you and that you say to yourself in the past, even your previous self, you're not labeled by any of that.
Right.
And you can have the worst experiences in life. You can have the, and I have had some, and I have still come out the other end. And I want to be like a living example of, if I can do this, so can you. And that's in the burlesque world. If I can fire eat, so can you. I'll teach you. If I can get on that stage and have this confidence, and so can you. But if I, in a horror film, can be beaten and bashed and whatever else, and I can still come out living and breathing and successful at the other end, then so can you. And it's weird that I did a monologue for an agent out here before I moved out here. And it was a woman, she'd had a fight with her boyfriend and he punched her and she had this black eye. And at the end she goes, and that's how I got my black eye. But the whole monologue is about how she finally broke up with this boyfriend and she's triumphant and she's telling her social worker, I finally fucking did it, And the agent said to me, great, great rendition. Wonderful. You're obviously talented. Wonderful performance. I just don't like the choice of material because it's not believable. I was like, okay, why? He goes, you walk in here with this stature and this, the way that you look, and I mean, if that happened to you, you'd have punched the shit out of him right back. It's just, it's not believable. And I thought, wow. Because ironically, a year later, I did have a little incident with a boyfriend where a very, very similar thing happened. And I thought, I don't want anyone thinking they're a victim because of how they look or because of, even me, tall, I'm not muscular anymore. There's a bit more flab on me than they used
Oh
to
God, get out of here, please.
But
Oh my
even
God.
me, tall and powerful, and I'm gonna, I go on stage as Vixen DeVille and I beat people down my words, and I'm in these action films slashing and whatever, and I am proud to say that I have also been victim, but I have also come out of it the other end. And so if anybody out there feels victimy and they feel like that's the just their lot in life, it's not at all, and so for me to do horror films, I know it's like going, it's the articles in Playboy. I know horror films are there for cool, like, hey, it's horror and ooh, a bit of blood, but I don't mind playing the victim in a horror film. And oh, she's playing the victim and she's gonna run around screaming. If I can come out the other end with blood and dirt and shit all over me and be like, but I'm triumphant, then to me, that's that's the point.
Oh man, that I love. I'm sorry you had that experience. That's horrible.
Yeah, and it's funny because it's if you train in martial arts and you train yourself up and you're all this stuff, it's not the this weirdo downtown who's gonna attack you because you're ready for it. When it's someone that's like close to you and you trust them,
Unexpected,
that's
yeah.
exactly.
Oh
So
man.
it was a long time ago, and the day after it happened, I did. My mom was like, "Why did you do that?" I was like, "I blasted it out over Facebook because I'm not letting him get away with this shit." And
Good
so
for
many
you.
people came out. Oh my God, so many people. Because I was like, I don't want to have to now have to be like explaining to people why I have this rash on my face. I'd rather people just know. And yeah, it was like, so many people came out of the woodwork going, thank you so much. I was attacked by so and so a couple of years ago and I didn't want to come forward because of the embarrassment. And someone else said, oh, I've just forwarded this on to my three children, my three daughters, because I want them to know that da 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 da. Like, you're never obviously. I mean, and the thing is, you are safe. And I trust people more than a lot of people I know. I'm so trusting of people because what the hell? It was a one-off incident. But absolutely, like, I hate the idea that anyone should feel embarrassed or ashamed by something that somebody else is responsible for. I didn't, I hated it. It was like the stereotypical, I'm a burlesque performer that got attacked. I was like, oh God, I've walked into stereotype world. But yeah, like, it's shit happens, right? Shit happens, get on with
Yeah, no, I
it.
like that. And I think that's why we've seen such a change in the horror genre. We know, back in the day, and it's funny because I watch so many old movies and it's like women faint, and I'm like, I've never seen anyone faint in my life, And it's like every, I don't know, maybe it's because I grew up outside New York City and all that stuff. Like, women don't faint, man. They fight better than guys do. And it's like,
Women only faint back in the day when they're corseted the shit up and they can't breathe.
yes,
That's when
exactly.
women faint. So, it's like it's based in truth, but we're just not with the
Yeah, and that's why I think even as a young person watching horror movies, even the slashers, the final girl, and the thing was, this was the final strong person, the one person who could figure it out. She was better than the guys, better than the jock football player and all, because she used her brain and she used some ingenuity and she, won the day. And that's one of the reasons why I like horror. Now it's even stronger. You have wonderful female leads and you have characters, they all have some sort of arc. But most often they're not necessarily like, and then at the end, they stand tall. Things are a little bit different now, which is, wonderful, and I think far more realistic. And like that horror reel that you have, man, you're taking control in that.
Which one did you there's so much stuff out there. I'm like,
The
which one
one
did you
I know
specifically
you have,
see?
my God, you have more reels than I'm like,
Is it the one with the cigarette and I've got bottle over
yes,
my
yes the
face?
one with, yeah. And you're like, man, and the lighting, it's like, don't mess with Kat. She's gonna eat you alive.
Yeah, I'll
Did you
skulk into
like
my
playing
corner,
that?
cover, and then say again.
Did you like playing that?
It was the first time I'd done anything
No way.
like that,
Oh,
I
okay.
think. Yeah. And that one, I think the take that you saw was a reshoot,
Okay.
because we'd run out of time at the studio or something. But I had got the call for that. I was Skyping my mom at 2 in the morning because of the time difference,
Yeah.
and I got a call from the a director friend of mine who knew the director of that film, and he's like, "Would you want to? Can you film tomorrow?" And I'm like, "What?
Okay.
I don't know. It's 2 a.m. right now. Why are you asking me this?" And the girl who they'd originally cast for it hadn't read the whole script and had an issue with the fact that there was like a rape scene or something.
Okay.
And I said, "Well, let me read it." I
Right.
said, "I'm not going topless for the sake of it, because that's not the story. The story is she gets attacked. The story is not that. I mean, the
Right.
story is that she's vulnerable and attacked, but for for an indie film that's not going to be shown to all the Hollywood I'm saving that for later. I don't even get them out on stage for burlesque, so I read through the script and I put it through my little should I do this or not filter? What am I
Right.
saying with this role, which I think is something I've been I've had advice from training as an actor is something any actor should do is any job that you get given, it's not about the money. It's not I'm being paid all this, so I will do this, or I'm not being paid anything, so I won't. It's is this a story I want to tell, and
Right.
is this something that I feel passionate about? And it was that whole being victimized and coming out the other end. And so, yeah, I was like, yeah, rocking on, absolutely. And the funny thing about that shoot actually is there's a guy who plays my father in it. I was going to say his name. I'm not sure. Do I say his name? I'm not sure. Anyway,
Oh, you go ahead,
but he
whatever
plays
you
my father
want.
in it, and he's quite huge and sort of he would say this himself. He's like kind of huge and grotesque looking, and he always gets. Like the roles of like the hillbilly guy, or like I think he was used for the animation for the troll in Wizard of, not Wizard of Oz, Harry Potter,
Oh, okay.
and I was like, oh my God, like I'm so we're talking, and I'm like, he's like, oh, I'm just going to talk to you so that I'm a human and we're cool and this is all great, and I was like, yeah, absolutely. So we're getting on really, really well, and he's now such a close friend of mine, and he does a ton of naked stuff, and I was
Wow.
like. When I first met him, I was like, "What do you mean?" And he does like live he poses for live art drawings, and he's always doing like crazy music videos where they need some like big guy, big hairy guy, being like this person doing whatever it is that he's doing. And he would do it like the Emperor's New Clothes sort of thing and walk around, but like as this art project. It turned out that he'd had some kind of surgery where his the wall cavity of his stomach, like the muscle wouldn't grow back,
Right.
So whatever he does, it's like, I'm not going to be in shape. And so he was just like, well, that's my branding. That's what I am as an actor. And it was amazing that he said to me, he says, I get on stage in front of people, absolutely, totally naked, looking the way I do, because I'm like, if I feel this confident about this body, then what the hell are you guys complaining about? And he goes, if
Wow.
just one person feels better about how they look, seeing how I look, then that's like my job done. And I was just like, I love you. Like, oh, it was so great. And he's so supportive of me on social media. Like, whenever I post something, he's always going on about how wonderful I am, how great it was to work with me. And,
I've no doubt, of course.
I just remember him biting my arm in one scene, his filling fell out, and I was like, what's this? He goes, oh, that's my filling. Oh my God, the whole crew were like, oh, and they were like, Kat, are you all right? I was like, babe, it's fine. Like, come on. Oh my gosh, like the things that happen to you on set, it's ridiculous. Oh, it's all fun. But yeah, this is the thing. Like, most people would look at him and go, oh my God, what a scary, horrible, creepy guy, and whatever. And I'm like, if you bother to talk to him, like, he's like a sweetheart, you know?
Yeah.
So.
And you have this troop movie coming out, right? That we were.
Oh no, that's
No,
been and gone. I've, the thing
it.
that's coming out
You have a
at the
lot coming out,
moment,
though.
I have so much coming out. I am the closet of Narnia. The thing that's happening right now is the I keep calling it dead set. Devil's Work. Devil's Work is like doing the festivals at the moment.
Right, that's a short you play Lexi, yeah.
Yes, And Sean Carmichael is he just came out, actually. Came out, he just came out, him and his girlfriend came to visit and came to see Karma Lounge, and so, and I'd just been talking to you about that film, and then he came and he was sitting in the exact same seat where I was talking to you about the film. And yeah, and so I was like, I haven't seen him for 2 years, and he just came. He's like, oh, I'm gonna go come out to LA. We're promoting the film and everything. They've just done like a re-edit of it, and
Okay.
yeah, so that was so fun to see him. That was a yeah, it was really, because yeah, 2 years ago, that group of people, it was in Massachusetts, it was filmed, and I was flown out there from here, and they had a couple of people come in from New York, and the four of us just met each other, like, five of us met each other on that day of filming,
Right.
and that was like the best cast of people. Like, we were just so tight, and
Oh, that's
we're playing,
great.
like, we're playing two couples and a guy who's like my ex-husband, and we have to instantly connect, like on the day. And
Nice.
I had so much fun on that shoot. There was, yeah,
That's
considering it
cool.
was a horror film, but yeah. Oh my
Let's see what
gosh.
else you have completed coming out. The Service, that's in post-production right now.
Yeah, oh, that's how I met Alana, was on that. She did all the
Oh,
fake blood cutting my throat open stuff. Yeah.
that's fabulous.
That's how I met Alana. Yay. It's all a circle of joy.
Oh, that's cool. And
I just do projects and collect happy, nice people.
good, that's great. And you're Rita Repulsa.
Yes.
Yes, the
Yes.
Last Ranger parody. That's MMPR parody 7, and that's supposed to come out sometime in 2017. So that's good.
17, yeah. So we've just shot all that. It was all against green screen. And
Ah, nice.
oh my God. And so you know the joy that Kay and April had dressing up in the studio for the photo shoot?
Yeah.
That's what it was like for me when I went for my fitting. And they just kept putting more and more layers of costume on me. And I was like, this is amazing. Oh no, now this is amazing. Oh, and of course, oh, and fake fingernails. Oh, and some horns. Like, just keep giving me more costume. It was like the best thing.
Oh,
And then you're
man.
dressed up, and then on set they're like, can you do this roundhouse kick? And I'm like, no. I'm wearing like 4-inch stiletto heeled boots and about 12 like layers of leather and these like clip-on silver pointy fake nails that kept falling off, and my staff weighed about like 7 pounds. I'm just like, yeah, absolutely. How about you do it in 4-inch stiletto heels?
Oh man.
Oh my God. Again, that was so much fun as well. That was a really good team. I think the whole crew had worked together a bunch of times before. And yeah, I think again, it's the when you see, because you said about the comedy stuff, like I hate saying positive things about myself.
Oh, well,
See,
this is what you
I
have to
have a
do.
really
This is
good
the
sense
show.
of humor. Because I have a really good sense of humor, and I like
You
goofing off,
do?
and I like kind of seeing the humor in situations. Some of the best comedy actors are just phenomenal at drama. When you see Robin Williams do anything
Oh, yeah.
apart from serious, and then I've seen Lisa Kudrow do amazing work when it's just like a real serious dramatic piece. And I think it's because of that sort of you're tapping into. It's funny because imagine if this was true, but then the drama is like, no, that funny it is true. Like it's sort of. Yeah, there's something about people who have sense of comedy and a wit about them that access that real dramatic side.
Oh yeah, and you know, I was looking at stills from that 301 troupe, and
Yeah.
Mike, it's like, why aren't you casted as the next Lara Croft? I mean,
I know, right?
I'm looking, I'm like, she's friggin' Lara Croft. She's, you know, it's like, holy hell.
And I'm really British. I mean, come on, what more do
Yes.
Have
And you
you
could.
seen my Lara Croft pictures before?
No.
I used to do an aerial act when I hadn't busted my shoulder,
Jeez.
as dressed as Lara Croft. It's on YouTube
Oh
somewhere.
my
Go have a
God.
little Google. Yeah, there's some modeling pictures I did on location as Lara Croft. Again, it was an outfit I created and stuff, and then I did this aerial act. So I come on stage as Lara Croft, and the only strip in the act is me taking off the gun holster and the rucksack, the backpack,
Right.
and I do this whole like aerial act in my in the lira. So yeah,
Wow.
that was fun.
Cat, I mean, I know we could talk forever, and I.
I certainly could talk
Oh, I
forever.
know, and well, you could come on anytime.
Oh my God, please. I will do.
You
I
never have to
shall.
ask, but you know, before we go, is there? I usually ask people this, so I'm going to do it to you too. You've been in interviews and all before. You have quite a following. People love, respect, and admire you for all the right reasons. Is there anything that hasn't been asked of you in an interview that you wanted to share or tell people? Now's your time.
Anyone's ass. Well, that whole thing about the attack, that's something
Right.
I've never really, I mean, obviously I blasted it over social media when it happened, but it's not been something I then talked about. Anyone asked me anything in
Well, I'm honored you felt
interviews?
comfortable doing it here.
Yeah, I just thought it was relevant because
It
it
is.
was, it's very relevant to the horror film and the victim thing because I never, like I said, I never played victim. I was always playing these powerful, otherworldly, superhero-y, powery people.
Right.
And I think it's more of an interesting choice to choose somebody who isn't small and weakling and whatever to be the victim and then see them, triumph afterwards, sort of thing.
Yes, absolutely.
Has anybody, let me just think for one more second if there's anything else I want to ask. No, I'll keep it for next time.
Oh, wow. Okay. I like that. So, where can people find you? Because you're everywhere, but let us know, please.
Oh, on the street corner.
Oh, God. Would you stop it? You're so bad.
They can find me. Instagram is Vixen Cat Vixen. Cat with a C, where you can see pictures of me performing and doing all my stuff, goofing off backstage, and also all the pictures from the photo shoots. You can see the kind of thing people are doing. On Facebook, I'm Cat Lacoey. I'm also Vixen DeVille on Facebook. I have like three or four different Facebook pages.
Oh man.
So there's my fan page, which is just updates of all the acting stuff. And then there's my Vixen DeVille fan page as well. Twitter, I believe I'm on Twitter. I don't use it that much, but I
Yes,
am
you are.
there.
As
I
Cat
Cat
Lacoey.
Lacoey. And you anything else? Yeah, I don't know. Websites, vixendeville.com, catlacoey.com. It's very simple.
And
If you just go into the street and wolf whistle four times, I shall come a calling. Like it's like the
wow.
secret. Just go,
No, but it was just so amazing, like working with you with the photo shoot and everything else. And if I get to make some of the movies that I want to make, you're definitely in. You don't even have to audition. You got it.
Beautiful. I'll bring a duck with me. I have. Oh, I have. I've told about Vixen Duckville, right? Yeah. If you don't want to follow me or Instagram me or anything, you should just follow Vixen Duckville on Facebook because she follows me around everywhere. You know the phobia, antitophobia? Is it antitophobia? Anyway, the fear that a duck is watching you. I have
Yes,
that.
yes, yes. You're kidding me.
Well, because I have this rubber duck called Vixen Duckville, who is just following me around trying to sabotage my career because she wants to be more famous than me.
My
She followed me all the
God.
way to Vegas. You can see pictures of
Oh my God. Do you know what
it.
my script was about that got into Shriek Fest?
Yes, you know,
Yeah.
the
The earthquake
oh,
thing. It was all about
earthquake.
mutant ducks, yeah.
You know,
Oh
when
my
your wife
God.
told me about that, I was like, I am gonna love this guy so much. That alone. That was like, this guy writing a phone call, Earthquack, I need to meet him.
Oh wow. Well, just you're just so wonderful, and I can't thank you enough for everything. And seeing just
Absolutely.
how the people around you change and become more open and more comfortable with who they are in their own skin, and that's such a beautiful thing. And so thank you for that. And thank your mom. Your mom's wonderful.
It will. I do every day.
Okay, good. Tell her I saw the video and I think she's fantastic.
Okay, I will. She'll be so pleased. She's been wanting to try that for so long. She saw a magician do it at a show I did in Vegas, and she's like, I want to be able to do that. I was like, I think it's kind of easy. It's just plastic bags.
Yeah, because she was counting and she's losing her breath and she's like, oh, that was really cool. She was juggling bags and it was just fantastic.
She had these like bright pink socks on. It was my favorite thing.
Yeah, I know. I noticed those. And oh, and she's laughing so much. Oh, it was great. So thank you. And Kat, definitely come on again. All you need to do is say, Bill, I need to come on again and talk about something.
Okay.
That's it. It's
Beautiful.
done. Okay, so
Done.
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 Thank you so much, and keep dancing and keep smiling.
I will,
All
for
right.
sure.
Okay. Bye.